The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, those are the sounds of the roads in and around City West, the well-known hotel in South County Dublin, in the Saggart area, because a protest is ongoing there. It has been going on since about a quarter past three this afternoon, and our chief reporter Barry White is on the scene to explain exactly what is happening and why people are protesting. Barry, what's the story?
Hi, Kieran. Good afternoon. So a number of people in the Saggart area of Dublin, where the City West Hotel is situated, like you say, have been holding what they're calling a vehicle protest since quarter past three this afternoon. I counted about 50 cars at one stage driving around here. The village has pretty much come to a standstill. They're kind of going on a go slow around here. Now, the organisers said the aim of this protest is to stop the City West Hotel from being purchased by the government. The government is understood to be aiming to buy the hotel in West Dublin in order to significantly expand accommodation for asylum seekers on the site. The state has been using a portion of the existing site for international protection applicants for the last number of years. But the organisers say they fear that this expansion could see 1,000 more applicants being housed there. And the purchase could also cost around 100 million euro. So I've been speaking to some locals here earlier, Kieran, who are against this and who are out supporting the protest, and they've told me why they are supporting it.
A Saggart village. And we're here because we've had enough. It's way too much. You know, this is a beautiful little village. Destroy it now. Don't even know what they're about. Have they even been checked out before they came here?
But what has it done to the village? Because
it's destroyed it. Absolutely.
Destroyed it how?
Because you don't see much Irish people anymore. It's all foreign national. You go into the local shop where the post office is, and you could be standing there for an hour.
Why is that a bad thing, though?
It's just the way everybody's feeling about it, you know.
The idea that they're going to expand the City West Hotel now from bringing another 1,000 bypass international protection people. So the village is flooded as it is with foreign nationals. You go into that post office any day and there's a queue at the door. People collecting their fuel bob.
Yeah.
And they intend to buy it.
Yeah.
Pay 100 million for it. You know what I mean? And it's all a money making racket, as far as I can see.
It's all about money for the government.
I mean, the people that own that have made millions. They have spent it on the health service, for one. You know what I mean?
How long have you lived here?
All my life, I'm born and raised here. The development of the village over the years, over the past 10, 20, 15 years, I really don't know how they could they got permission to build all the apartments and the houses around the area. They've destroyed the village completely, you know what I mean? There's not a village anymore.
Okay, so there's a couple of the locals who, as you say, Barry, oppose it. Listen, most people in the country would be familiar with City West, given its prominence beside the motorway. If you've never actually gone off the motorway or off the N7 into it, it is a huge, huge complex and massive amount of buildings and massive level of accommodation in there. But this vehicle protest, I mean, are they blocking the roads as we speak?
They're not blocking the roads, Kieran, and you can probably just hear it behind me. They're going on a go slow, and they're encircling the roads around the City West Hotel and the surrounding area. So that would be Church Road, Nace Road, and then back up towards Saggart Village. And the organisers say they chose the time of quarter past three this afternoon for maximum impact. So I've counted about 50 cars doing loops around the hotel in this go slow. And I suppose how I counted them is because the cars that are part of the protest have stickers on the windscreens and they have their hazard lights on. Now, I have to say there's also people here getting stuck in this traffic. Some wouldn't go on tape, but they were fairly angry that they're stuck in this, and that could be, you know, they might be getting home a lot later than they would normally get home this afternoon. But I spoke to one of the organisers, Amanda, who helped organise with this protest, and she told me what the aim is this afternoon.
So as residents of Saggart, we held a meeting last week in the Green Isle Hotel. Really good turnout. We all kind of made a collective decision to hold a protest, a little bit different than maybe other protests. So we decided to do with the vehicle rollout. We're going to do a loop around Saggart Village, maybe a couple of times. and hopefully, look, we get some awareness about it. I don't think we feel the government aren't listening to us as residents, as parents, our concerns, our fears. Our village is a rural village, and we all feel it can't hold the capacity of the amount that are in the hotel.
So a vehicle protest, where's this going to end up?
Well, today it'll be in Sagard. We'll be doing loops around Sagard. The Gardaí are here, they're on board, they're facilitating us, which is great. And we're looking forward to it, I suppose, to see what turnout we get.
Is the aim here to cause disruption and, I suppose, raise awareness?
We don't. It's more to raise awareness. We're trying to do it as peacefully as possible. We don't want to kind of annoy any you know, anyone else. The schools were told, you know, we got in contact with schools and stuff, so they were all told, you know, the schools are shut, the kids are gone home. We're trying to keep it as peaceful as possible, and that's why we're picking this time as well.
What are your fears regarding the hotel? Because it has been accommodating asylum seekers and refugees already for a long time.
I have friends in the hotel that are Ukrainian. I don't think it's an issue with the Ukrainians. There is an IPAS centre, it's a convention centre full of over probably 1,000 single men. We're not sure if they're fully vetted. They're still waiting for their stamp fours, and, you know, they sometimes can cause a little bit antisocial behaviour in the village. There's drinking, you know, fighting. there's been a few break-ins, house break-ins. And, you know, I think realistically we're not happy with the convention centre, and we're afraid with the sale going through, will they house more in there? That's our concerns.
Alan in Dublin's after getting in touch. He has similar concerns to those you've spoken to. Barry, where is this going to end? When is enough enough? We are a small island nation. It's time we looked after our own problems rather than the problems of the world. Other people who are obviously in and around the protest getting in touch. Four cars just came out onto the N7 and they're blocking all lanes, or else they're driving very, very slowly. And somebody else, yes, says they've just blocked the N7 right now between Spirit Ford and City West. So, I mean, despite it maybe not being a massive protest, it's going to have a massive impact if they slow down what is the busiest road in the state. Is there much of a Garda presence there, Barry?
Yeah, Kieran, there is. There's a number of Garda jeeps circling the village, while there's also a few guards on bicycles. There's also a Garda van outside the hotel. And I did speak to the organisers of the protest, as you heard there, Kieran. Now, they told me if the numbers increased as they were circling the village, their aim was then to go to the N7 and go on a go slow to cause maximum disruption. So I guess, look, it's peaceful, but it's definitely disruptive here. And I must just say, Kieran, there was one local businessman I spoke to here. Now, he wouldn't go on tape, but he was telling me he's very much against this. He doesn't agree with bringing the village to a standstill. And he also told me he's owned his business in the village for decades, and he's never had any issues regarding the City West Hotel here in Sagard.
So the protest ongoing, Barry, was there an end time that they had scheduled? Because there'll be people listening to this who still have the commute ahead of them in or out of Dublin over the next couple of hours, and they wonder how long this might last.
No, I wasn't given any end schedule. And I suppose from speaking to people involved in this, Kieran, they were telling me that their aim here was to cause massive disruption. They said while it was peaceful and the Gardaí know about what is happening here, their aim was to cause disruption. And that's certainly what they've been doing this evening. It's not the biggest protest I've ever seen. You know, maybe a few dozen vehicles involved here, but it may be small, but it's still caused massive disruption. So yeah, anybody caught up in this, I'm sure, aren't too happy. But yeah, they've certainly achieved their goal this evening of causing disruption. And from speaking to some of the people involved in this, they say this is just the beginning as well. You know, this was done without much notice, and they're saying that they will do similar again as well.
All right. Well, listen, we'll have to keep a close eye on it. Barry White, our chief reporter, who's there in the Sagart area amongst the traffic. Barry, thank you very much for that. Linda De Courcy is with me as well. Linda is an Independent Ireland councillor for the Clondalkin local electoral area. Linda, what do you make of this protest?
Well, I mean, I suppose people are frustrated. The your reporter just said the protest was organised quite suddenly, and I mean, I suppose the announcement came quite suddenly that, you know, suddenly the government has decided it's going to buy, you know, the City West Hotel and turn it into what is in effect going to be a permanent migrant camp. The hotel, since it was built, I think in the mid 90s, has been an amazing amenity for the area. Like, I mean, it's obviously got the massive conference centre, but you know, they'd have all sorts of events and functions, communion. communions, confirmations, weddings, you know, go for dinner, like there's lemongrass there as well. Also a great source of local employment, you know, like I worked in a restaurant when I was young, you know. So, I mean, all that has been taken away. Obviously, there was lockdown and then it was used as a testing centre and a vaccination centre. But since, you know, since the Ukrainian war broke out, it's basically been used. And there's not hundreds of migrants there. There are about 2,000 housed there at the moment, as I understand. So it's not a case of hundreds, it's a case of thousands. Obviously, Ukrainians, a lot of women and children, but then also the IPA applicants who are generally young migrant men.
And when you say migrant camp, why do you use that language?
Well, because that's what, I mean,
well, it's a hotel, it's not a camp.
Okay. Well, Micheál Martin said in the Dáil earlier in the year that the vast majority of people coming in claiming asylum are economic migrants. So they are, in effect, migrants.
I'm not denying the reality that they're migrants. And I'm not suggesting that everybody who comes here kind of should automatically be allowed to stay, that there's not people we need to turn around and send back, or that numbers are not too high. I think everybody has come around to that reality. But I just, a migrant
it's
camp, a it's not a camp.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, a summer camp is a summer camp. Like, you know, it's where people go and stay for relatively short periods of time. Like, you know, it's the thing is, but the issue is, it's the permanency of it. So it was all these IPA centres that have been springing up over the country. Like, and I have three within like literally a kilometre of where I live. They're supposedly temporary, you know, so they're temporary emergency accommodation. But this would make this permanent. So this would mean that in 20 years, it would have no chance of returning to it. And this is what's really upsetting people, because, and I know at the meeting last Wednesday, so there was a meeting in the Green Isle last Wednesday organised by the locals. I attended, and one of the other local councillors in our area attended. And some of the people were saying, like, you know, when the Ukrainians came, they went out, they opened the doors, they organised wheelchairs, they helped them in any way they could, and they were willing to help. And that's so many communities around the country were. Like, it's a case of, like, you know, we'll help in any way we can. But it was always supposed to be a temporary thing, on the understanding that when this crisis was over, the hotel would be returned to the people that it was built for. It was built for, you know, City West, Rathcoole, Sagres, all that area, Clondalkin. I mean, it's everybody knows City West Hotel. Like, you know, there's, I believe, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have had Ardeshes there and everything. Like, you know, I mean, it should be an amazing amenity for the local people and the greater area, you know?
Yeah, and listen, it's where you kind of permanently locate these centres isn't an easy question to answer, and there's always going to be a degree of difficulty finding the place. Though one of the big criticisms of the system we have, Linda, is that it's been this massive transfer of public wealth into private hands, you know, since direct provision was first got up and running, and obviously that's become accelerated in recent years. Is this not exactly what the government should be doing? You know, buying out places so that there's not some kind of private operator making a fortune off the back of it, that they're state run.
The government has facilitated this by making it so financially lucrative. So they have created this monster that now they're saying, oh my goodness, like it's not, you know, fiscally responsible for us to be doing this. Like, I mean, they're the ones who've created the problem. They're the ones who've been paying extortionate amounts of money to people who are taking in these IPA applicants, Ukrainians.
But this is the solution to it.
Well, if the government buys this,
they won't be paying anyone.
Well, they actually... Well,
I know you have to buy it up front, but this is you're going to have to buy land or buy a building somewhere. The point is that for people like yourself who are... But Linda, this is a fair point, I think, to make to you. Like, you and others have been really critical of that transfer of wealth to private operators. This is a way of stopping that, of the state actually taking over.
Okay, but at the expense of a local community. So I don't think the government has the right to turn a local community's you know, resource, which is a hotel, golf club, into a permanent, and I'm going to use the word again, migrant camp, because that's what it will become. Also,
it won't be a camp. Like, this is, you're just, sorry, no, these are the people have absolutely have a right to protest, and people have absolute legitimate concerns, like they do in Dundrum and Tipperary, or like they did around Racket Hall. But using a migrant camp, like, Linda, that is intentionally using language to wind people up. And it's kind of pathetic, Linda. I'll be honest with you. It's kind of pathetic.
That wasn't my intention. The point is, I'm asking you, do you think it's fair for the government to purchase a hotel in an area that's very built up, that it's lacking resources? There are like schools all around the area. Like they don't have the resources. There's no Garda station. There has been a serious increase in crime. If you listen to some of the stories of people who were at the meeting last Wednesday, one lady, like literally saying she couldn't leave her house after 6 o'clock. She's been chased by men. I mean, and I'm not saying everybody coming through has got nefarious intentions at all, but even if there's only one or two people out of 100, then that creates horrendous pressure on the community. There's Rathcoole Park, which is just around the corner. The number of people I've spoken to, women who can't go into the park with their kids, like they can go in early in the morning, but they can't go in during the day because they've got these men taking videos of their children. So these are real issues.
And have they reported these to the guards, Linda? Have you reported them?
Yes, they have. No, they have.
Has anyone been prosecuted for it?
I have no idea, but I mean, yeah. The point is.
Just this is a national scandal. There's whole parks that people can't go into, that there's all these migrants going out filming children to their own nefarious ends.
Well, they are. And unfortunately, okay. A lot of these things are not being taken seriously. And we did, in all fairness, we did have a meeting with the guards a couple of months ago. And the guards were saying, because a lot of people aren't reporting things because they feel like nothing is happening. And the guards were basically saying, you must report everything. So I think one of the things that people got from that meeting was that even if it takes a half an hour to go down and report it and get a pulse number, you have to do it.
So when the person running the Gardaí, Drew Harris, says there's no link between an increase in migrant population and an increase in crime, should I take him seriously or just ignore him?
Well, I mean, like, have you spoken to people on the ground in areas where
we literally had someone who's part of this protest on the show. We heard from them. They're speaking to Barry and they said all the things you said. And we put it straight to air. The person made all those points. What I'm putting to you is that Drew Harris, who runs on Garda Síochána, says according to their statistics, there is no link between an increase in migrant population and an increase in crime. Now, you're saying the opposite. Should I believe?
Okay. And a couple of years ago, was it what, 98%?
Who should I believe?
98% of the guards said they had no faith in Drew Harris. Was that the percentage? It was a very, very high percentage.
So I can't speak for Drew Harris.
All I'm saying is...
I'm not asking you to speak for Drew Harris. I'm asking you, if he says that, is he wrong?
But when I'm in a meeting, I've been in several meetings now with hundreds of people, and the fear in the room is real. Okay, it's not made up. It's not like, you know, people, as I said, when the Ukrainians came, like, you know, people literally threw open their houses. They did everything they could, you know, so it's not like people haven't bent over backwards to accommodate people who are genuinely fleeing a war. This is a totally different scenario. And when you put hundreds and even thousands of men who don't know each other, who are from different cultures, you know, like different religions, all sorts of things, you put them together in a hotel. They've nothing to do all day. A lot of them, 50%, I understand, or so, are working. So, in all fairness, what are a group of 20 to 30 year old men going to do all day? Do you expect them to sit around and just, you know, like tell stories?
But Linda, for what it's worth, I agree the fear is real, and I agree when people say the numbers that have come into this country the last few years are unsustainable. And I think it's been absolutely cack-handed the way the government have gone about handling it and taking kind of the last hotel in a particular area. And I mentioned Racket Hall or the likes of Dundrum is absolutely brain dead. And in an ideal situation, we would only be putting these centres in places where there are an abundance of GPs or school places or other services. But the two issues are, none of those places exist. That's the first problem. The second issue is around the fear. Do you suspect part of the reason the fear is so real is because the likes of yourself are going on national radio saying people with brown skin are filming kids in the park?
Okay, this is the first time I've been on national radio, so I do consider it quite an honour. I appreciate that. I'm not going around saying that. So this is the first time I've done that, so I'm not really sure what you're accusing me of. I'm relaying to you what people have said to me. You've said you've heard it from other people as well. This is not new. What I would really like is for the government to actually take these fears seriously. All they do is they say, we're going to communicate with an area. And what they do is they go in, and there's one thing I can say three ways in Irish. I can say, Cunis, Dún the Vale, agus Nabi account. And like in this country, that's a bit what it's like. It's like the government decides we're going to do this and we're going to go in here and we're going to tell you we're doing this and you don't have a say, just like Cetius, agus Nabi account. Mm. The government is not good at communicating with people. If the people of the area by their thousands do not want this, if you have like 90% of the people who say we do not want this, we live in a democracy, it should not go ahead. The government needs to come up with something better than forcing this on a community that has, as I said, already bent over backwards, given up their hotel, opened their arms and done as much as any community in the country. It's not like the people of Zagreb have done more than other communities when it came to Ukrainian. So it's just not good enough for the government to say, no, this is our great plan. We've come up with this plan and we don't really care what you think. You pay taxes, you know, but we don't care. We're just going to put these people here and you can just, like I said, you know, see, she is like, it's not be a kind, because that's they're not good with the whole.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, Linda, where we'll absolutely find agreement is I think you're complimenting the government when you suggest they even have a plan. But anyway, we appreciate your time. Linda De Courcy is an independent Ireland councillor for Clondalkin's local electoral area.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.